How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when you move into a charming old house and discover it comes with an invisible roommate?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we really do love to share them with everybody. So you could call them in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, you could. No commercials, access to the archive and advanced episodes. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free. Or you can go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am here.
So you and I just got back from a road trip. We were talking about it in the last episode, about how we went to a haunted house in Illinois. But right. We also went back. It was interesting because we were back at the building that you used to own, and neither one of us had anything happen.
I had, I talked to it though, the building. I had to do some stuff. You know, you guys may remember from, you know, previous episodes that I lived upstairs in this building. It had been a funeral home. Matter of fact, that was the first thing it was. And then over the years, it was many different things. Like, I had an apartment, and apparently, you know, the people that built the building actually did live upstairs for a while. And then, you know, it'd kind of been redone to where it was like offices for a dentist, maybe in the 1930s, you know, and then you walk up and you go, yeah, that kind of makes sense the way it's set up now, you know, when you start looking around at it. But it, you know, we lived in this front, maybe third of the building, and the back two thirds were just a big back room, wide open. You know, it's the stone brick walls on the side, the big beamed wood ceiling over it, and apparently it has the big old elevator in it. But apparently, they made furniture back there. And you could see where the old stoves were that kept it warm. And there's actually some really old turn-of-the-century posters that are kind of glued up on the wall, I guess, for decoration or whatever. And, you know, there's like a little game floor thing for children to play that was really kind of looks like from maybe the 1910s or 20s. And apparently they used to, this was apparently not uncommon. I did not know this, but manufacturing often went with the Undertaker building because they would make the coffins, and then maybe they'd go ahead and make some chairs. And so they would make this stuff, and they'd use that coffin-y elevator to take it back down and out and sell it and whatever. You know, it's a very strange building. It has a lot of the original, like, windows from the building, doors, things that are back there, and It has a vibe to it, as Carol could attest to. And at one place, it has a name place for a cemetery. And by a name place, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, where there's a big tombstone that's, you know, the Smith family or whatever, right? And you just have a big Smith tombstone. But in front of it, you have the father, Charles, or whatever. And it just has Charles. And then, you know, whatever the mom's name was, whatever. And it's just the name on a stone, right? And this one up there is Edith. So for some weird reason, there's just a stone that says Edith on it up there. And so I went up and I looked, and you know, I have had things that happened to me up there, but this time I went back up because I needed to go through. I had some stuff stored back there, and I just wanted to, I'm getting ready to move, so I'm just clearing out and whatever. So I went back up there and kind of got it all done and stuff. And then I was up there by myself, and I have to say I got pretty choked up, and I talked to it. And I told it that I had loved it. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up again. And that how much it that building had meant to me. And I will always carry it in my heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you thank you for protecting me those years that I lived here, because I know it was you. And, you know, I think it was just good for me to stop and tell it goodbye.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I'm not sure I will get back up there or, you know. Since I don't live upstairs anymore, you know, I'd have to get permission from the people. They still do rent it out. And, you know, I would have to, there'd just be no reason, you know, for me to make that happen. And so, you know, I had a little goodbye with my old building. And I don't know if other people get that. Like I do, but.
Oh, I think everybody listening gets that. I think so many people get
that. I felt very close to that building. Mm-hmm. I felt very, very connected to it. I still do. You know, it still just has a piece of my heart, you know. And I know it did. It felt, it reciprocated with me.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, other people in there said they had kind of creepy things happen to them. I know, Carol, you mentioned that you were creeped out by it and things happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That scared you.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt like whatever it was super protective of me. And so anyway, so we stopped and did that and, you know, saw our family and did some things.
What was interesting is that Kathy and I stayed at an Airbnb. And the pictures online looked pretty delightful. And it was. It really was cute. They had done a really good job with this Airbnb. But the creepy-ass thing about this... was I would say it's three old buildings right along the Mississippi, facing the Mississippi. So, you know, they have to be
some of the
oldest
buildings.
So I'm going to say in the 1860s, probably, they were built.
Or maybe even earlier.
Yeah.
Because I think Burlington, I think I saw, was established like 1832.
Yeah. So I'd say, yeah. So it could be even earlier.
And these are on the first road.
Yeah.
Just as you come up the Mississippi. So they have to be some of the earliest buildings built there.
So there's three of them together. And as you look at them, the one on the left is a bar. The one in the middle is vacant. And I don't think there's probably anything above the bar. The one in the middle, totally vacant. The one on the end that we stayed in, the Airbnb is upstairs, totally vacant. On the downstairs, looks like haunted AF, abandoned building. And then like the first night we pull up and we're around the back of the building and you're looking at the back of this. It just looks like it's so run down. And I looked at Kathy and I go, we're really staying here. We're really going to do this. I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be horrible. And neither one of us picked up on anything. I kind of think there was something there, but it totally wasn't anything mean or wanted to disturb us or anything. So it let us sleep at night. But I was convinced I am never going to sleep in this place. I didn't sleep well, but I don't sleep well any place outside of my house.
It was actually really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the space was really good. So I don't want to take anything away from
no,
that.
No, they did a great job with the renovations.
When you drive up, you think, what the hell have I gotten us into?
Because the first night we stayed in a hotel, which did feel paranormal, because like everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but it really wasn't paranormal stuff. It was just like everything is going wrong in this.
That's
well, the
right.
TV changing channels by itself, that was kind of weird.
That was weird.
It go into weird things like it goes from the baseball game to like a guy selling coins. I'm like, what is this? Yeah, and it kept doing that. And then we'd get it back to the baseball game. And then we're not touching anything and it's going back to the guy selling coins again.
It was weird.
It was very strange. But so we drove by that night and Kathy's like, here's where we're going to stay. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? That's the door we're going to go in. Oh my God. But it ended up being really cool. They did a really good job with this space.
Yeah, and it was wonderful. We really enjoyed it. And highly recommend, but it was funny. We were like, oh, it doesn't, you know. Now, with that said, I'm going to say I still think the building was a little haunted. I think the building next to it, super haunted. You know, I think if you brought equipment, you're going to get a lot of activity. That's what I would have to say about those two buildings.
But I think Kathy and
probably
and I,
even the one on the end.
Yeah,
probably
I think Kathy and I, we had a lot going on. It was kind of a family get together with some things going on. And I don't mean that in a vague way, but yes, it was a vague way. I guess I just said that. But we had some family things going on that we were dealing with. And so I think we were really shut down to it.
It's like, I think so.
We got enough on our mind. Please leave us alone right now.
I think so. I think there was that a little bit that we had so much going on. We just weren't open to
yeah.
it.
So, yeah. Well, let's go to a story about someone else other than us.
Okay.
This first one is, our ghost story begins when my husband and I rented a house in Prescott, Arizona. Finding a landlord willing to rent to me with a Great Dane and a pot-bellied pig felt like a small miracle. I can't imagine, you know, having a cat and a dog's hard enough, let alone when you've got a pot-bellied pig. We sold our home and we didn't have rental references, but with a job transfer forcing the move, this house was a blessing. Plus, we were thrilled to be so close to the historic downtown area. The first night in the house, I was alone. My husband was still packing up our old place and would join me the next day. Normally, I'm a strong, independent woman. Not much scares me, but that night, something felt off. I slept with the bedroom door locked and the lights on, which was completely out of character for me. I told myself it was just nerves, new job, new town, new home, but looking back, I realized there was something more. Deep down, I knew something was not right with the house. It didn't take long for us to realize that we weren't alone. Both of our pets, our Great Dane and our pig Porkchop, lived indoors. Every morning before we left for work, we'd put Porkchop in the bedroom and leave the Dane in the living room. They got along but had a tendency to squabble over the prime real estate on the couch, so keeping them separate seemed like a smart move. At least, that was the plan. Every day we'd come home and find both animals curled up on the sofa together, even though we were certain the bedroom door had been shut tight. At first I blamed my husband for not latching it properly, he blamed me. But after obsessively checking and double-checking the door, we realized the truth. Something was opening that door. And that wasn't the only thing. We'd hear voices, faint but distinct, just enough to make us stop in our tracks. Only for them to vanish as soon as we tried to pinpoint the source. My husband swore something had touched him on more than one occasion. These small things, taken alone, might not seem like much, but when you added them all up, yeah, it was too strange to ignore. So, I decided to talk to the ghost. I told it we knew it liked our pets, and clearly the feeling was mutual. Neither of the animals ever seemed afraid, and in fact, our Great Dane would watch something invisible walk across a room with a calm, curious gaze, as if she saw an old friend. Sometimes I'd catch her waking up, looking around like someone had touched her. She'd give me a look that seemed to say, "Was that you?" But I'd be clear across the room. I had a sneaking suspicion that our ghost liked to pet her in her sleep. So I explained to the ghost that while I appreciated its fondness for the pets, it wasn't safe to open the bedroom door when we weren't home. Porkchop and the Dane might look cute curled up together, but if a disagreement broke out over a sofa space, it wouldn't end well. I asked the ghost, politely but firmly, not to open the door anymore. And you know what? It listened. From that day on, the door stayed closed. We never found the pig and the dog together on the couch again. I was grateful the issue was resolved, but also a bit unsettled. Knowing we had a ghost who not only heard me, but listened? Yeah, that was something you don't exactly get used to. I also made one more request. I asked the ghost not to show itself to me. I didn't want to move. I loved the house, but I wasn't sure I could handle seeing our invisible roommate face to face. The biggest incident happened one quiet night. I'd been watching TV in the living room with the lights off. The porch light outside was still on. After a while, I decided to switch things up and read instead. I turned on the living room light and flipped off the porch light before heading to the kitchen to grab a snack. When I came back to the living room, I nearly dropped my plate. The porch light was back on, and the living room light, the one I had just turned on, was off again. I stood there frozen, staring at the lights as if they could explain themselves. On the couch, my Great Dane and Porkchop were both wide awake, looking at me with startled expressions like they'd been shaken out of a deep nap. That was the moment I knew. This wasn't just random weirdness. This was something paranormal. We had a ghost, and there was no denying it. We eventually moved out of that house and bought a new place in the same area. I'm happy to say our new home is completely ghost-free. Just us, no unexpected roommates. But you know what? I actually look back fondly on our time in that haunted house. As strange as it was, there was something kind of charming about our invisible housemate. It wasn't malicious, just playful, like a mischievous friend who couldn't resist the occasional prank. In the end, I'm grateful for the experience. It turns out not every haunting is something to fear. Sometimes it's just a matter of learning to live with a ghost who really, really likes your pets. That's from Janet. That makes me think of you, what you were just talking about with your place.
I was just talking about that, yeah. Wasn't I? About talking to the ghost and, you know, also, you know, kind of thanking him, saying, thanks, I appreciate you doing this or that, but, you know, please, you know that if you show yourself, I'm going to freak out. So that's not good, you know, or, but they also mischievously decided to do the light thing, mm-hmm. and that does make your heart stop.
Yeah.
When you know dang good and well that you left the lights on, or, you know, like with me the other day, we talked about my pillows in this house being rearranged on the sofa in an odd way. Then you just stop and you go, oh, okay. You know, I mean, it is a very, very strange feeling. But, you know, when Janet said it's sort of charming, I get that. That's what I felt like at that building in Iowa, that I felt like they knew that I bought that building to fix it up, to give it a life and love it. And I think they knew that. And I say they because I think there's more than one thing going on in there. But same kind of thing in this story, too. It also reminded me of, I had lived in a house when my husband and I first got together and we moved in together. We lived in a little house, and there was a lot of stuff going on in that house. And it had a basement. I mean, I would say this is a 1950s house, maybe. And it had a basement with a cement floor, and we had a sofa and a coffee table and a chair and whatnot downstairs. And it had a big part of the basement was divided into kind of a shop where it had some shop tables, and it had a big old shop door and kind of a wall with a window in it. It was really odd, but, you know, somebody apparently worked in a shop. And so it was one of those heavy shop doors, like metal heavy shop doors. And one day we left the dog, and we couldn't find the dog when we came home from work. Where's the dog? We're looking around. We can hear it, but we can't. It was downstairs in that shop, and the door was closed. Now, this is a little 10-pound dog. There's no way that dog goes in there. And it reminded me of that story here when, you know, the animals kept getting out. Like, who's opening this door? Who's putting them out here?
And in that case, you know, it almost makes me feel like the ghost is an animal lover and was like, they just want to be together.
Yeah.
But potbelly pigs could get mean. There really could be something bad happen.
And they pet, you know, the spirit seemed to pet that dog, reach over and pet him sometimes and stuff. So I really do think that whatever this thing was, it did like the pets.
But then it listened to her. It's like, please don't do this. This is the reason why we're separating them. And then it never happened again.
Yeah.
And you know dang well, when you leave in the morning, you put one pet in. People do that all the time. They put their dogs in a kennel or in the bedroom or something.
That's right.
All the time. You know what you do. You know what you're doing.
But like, no way does my dog go downstairs, go back into that shop,
shut the heavy door.
And it seemed like the light was on too. Like the and I was like, oh no. And you go, okay, so it's either a ghost or is it some creepy, weird guy comes in and puts my dog down here and turned on the light? You know, like, I don't know which one's better. But with that said, we also had like furniture rearrangements and shit going on down there. So it was something.
Yeah, I definitely think they lived in a haunted house.
Yep.
And I like that she looks back and said that she thinks there was something kind of charming about their invisible housemate.
I think we can all take a page from that. Not everything paranormal is, you know, Friday the 13th scary.
Exactly.
Right? But because, like I said, you know, I really do feel like I had protection. I still feel like that. You know, like I've got something that protects me. And I bet a lot of our listeners feel that same way. And so it's not all bad, but it can be unnerving.
Well, and I think they're all different. You know, I think there are houses you could live in that would just scare the shit out of you. But then there's other ones that you do, like, because like that Airbnb we were in the other night, I kind of felt something there, but it didn't feel mean. It kind of felt disrespectful, like, let the girl sleep.
But regardless, I always have an argument whether it's irregardless or regardless. Either way, it still is unnerving when something happens.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a good thing.
Especially when it affects your pets.
Wait a minute. You know, that's like weird. Like, wait, the light. I just turned that light on.
Yeah,
that's impossible. You know, yeah.
So here is another story.
Hi, I'm calling. I've just had an experience. I have had a very long day, a 16-hour shift. I finally settled down. I'm flying to Spain tomorrow morning. Got 3 hours I can get sleep, so I wanted to get this down while I could before I forgot it. I just laid down, and to my left, where I have a blank bit of wall, there's a fireplace. There was a very large, about 3 foot across the width of the fireplace from left to right, kind of had a golden angelic wing shape to it with almost a birdish angelic shape, but it was like the outline, like the highlight. I'm not saying it was angel wings. And it is very similar to something that I experienced back in October, where it was this like small, almost 6-inch in circumference, cross flamey orange. Again, this soft arm look about it with this orange type glow. Honestly, it appeared, again, I'm in the dark, though I have a window open. It's, what time is it? I'm calling from the UK. It's just gone 12:30. Sorry if I happen to be rambling again. In any event, so as I'm looking at it, it seemed to be changing shape, almost like the outside horn wing type shape was coming towards the center in a round kind of formation around, if you were looking at somebody's silhouette. So it was doing the outline. And at that point, honestly, I got, my heart started to race the entire time I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I know that you're probably the ancient spirit that I've been told lives here, that I've experienced before, but I really need to get to bed because I've got a flight, and also I am slightly unnerved and not confident to deal with the situation. I've been told before that I need to send the spirit that is here over to the other side because she's got family waiting for her. There's also a little boy here apparently, but he's from a different era. In any event, so yes, there's been a sequence of events, including footsteps and so forth, that my husband and I have both experienced. I happen to live in a nearly 500-year-old property.
Can you hear that good enough?
I'm having
totally
a little bit
distorted.
Of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit.
Let me see if it gets better.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of an ongoing haunting, audibly and shared by two people, but I seem to be the one so far who's experienced visual. I've called before in the past, but I don't think I was able to articulate well enough my experience, but I'm glad I've just had something, and I had you on speed dial, and I was able to get it to you, and now I'll be able to get some sleep and enjoy my holiday in Spain. Absolutely love y'all's show. I have subscribed, and I think what you guys do is absolutely fantastic. Had many experiences throughout my life as a child and now as an adult. And you guys help expand the mind and find possible answers or options to what, just giving people a forum to be able to express themselves. In any event, keep up the absolutely stellar work. And, yeah, I'll call in with some other stories when I get the guts. In any event, y'all take care. Bye.
I love the fact that something really weird happened. She's like, I've got him on speed dial. I'm gonna record this right now.
Right. And you know what? That is good, though, because you could hear it in her voice.
Yeah. So it was kind of like light that she saw.
I'm having a little trouble getting my head exactly around it. I think she was so excited that it was, she was, you know, having a hard time herself describing what she's
seen.
But
it sounds like she's had a lot of experiences. Yeah.
Kind of a golden glow at first. And then she talked about something kind of in a similar way she'd seen a while back with an orangey glow.
Yeah.
And it seemed good size.
And she must have debunked, like, it's not coming from here or there. You know, you kind of try to figure that out.
And it's a 500-year-old house.
Very old.
Very old. I was just, interestingly enough, I just had a friend request from a listener in the UK, like yesterday. And we've kind of gone back and forth a little bit. And I said, at that point, I said, some of our best stories come from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
They are really good ones. They have such a deep, rich paranormal history in the UK that we always get good stories when people, write in from there. And she said that she is going to be going on an investigation December Friday the 13th.
Oh, she has to let us know how that goes. Please write in.
I told her that. But I said, I definitely think, like, because she said this, where she's living, she seemed to already know there were spirits, right? Because mm-hmm. she mentioned a woman and a little boy.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, do these two, either one, fall into that? I don't know, because this seemed almost like she kept saying winged.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Which
almost,
is really
she
weird.
She said angelic, but maybe not exactly that. So I don't know that it was either one of these other spirits that people have mentioned to them that they know of. Is it just some sort of spirit that's come to say something to her, get her attention so that she's paying attention to something that's going, you know, sometimes I think that can happen where something's been sent to bring us a message. And maybe we can't quite get it because it's like, holy crap, you know, we see something and we're just like frazzled. But then we think about it and we have a few days. And I would love it if she would call back and say, has there been any follow-up to this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you gotten any messages? Has anything come through since then from this? Somehow in my heart, I feel like she was receiving a message.
Could be. Because, like, if you're receiving a message, it seems like you might understand what the message is. Because it's like, now I got to decipher what this effing message is.
But, you know, sometimes I think it's a matter of something gets our attention, makes us aware, and we're just more aware of our surroundings when it happens. And maybe on, like, a little bit heightened sensitivity to something.
Yeah.
So I would like to know if there has been any follow-up to this. I hope she enjoyed Spain a lot.
Let's
say that.
Yeah,
right?
You're going there in a couple weeks. You'll have to.
Yeah, I'm going there pretty soon.
You'll have to do an episode from there to see if you've got any haunted things that have happened.
Wow. Yeah, that would be quite the experience. I don't know. I don't know why, you guys, but I feel like there was something trying to communicate here.
I don't know. I just had one day a weird light thing on the wall, and it was the day that my dog Lily died. And I just got home from the vet. I'm devastated. I'm sitting on my bed and I look up and there was this perfect rainbow shape on the wall that went from the doorway to the corner of the wall, just filled it up. It was just
never saw it again. Never happened again. Mm-hmm.
And
never
I even turned around. Like I tried to put my hand up to like, if it's
block the light.
Yeah. Cause the window was behind me. So I'm like, maybe it's the sunshine coming in through the window. But it was just a little kind of message, I think.
I do too. Lily. See, I think that sometimes we're sent messages, and it can be in a strange way. But, you know, I just feel like, and sometimes it's just so that we open up our mind to something. Like, you're like, man, I had this experience last night, and I just can't get it out of my head. And, you know, you spend a few days just really contemplating that, really thinking about it, really. And it's as if it's opened you up.
And maybe it was just something as simple as safe travels.
Maybe.
Thinking about you.
It could be. I mean, maybe it was, you know, something. But I would like to know if there's any follow-up to this story.
Yeah, so let us know. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear about it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive, you could sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.